1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we're going to get to these verses here in just a moment, but we understand as we observe a little later on today the Lord's Supper and partake of the Lord's table that this is one of the two ordinances that we would have as a part of our church. We know that the other ordinance is baptism, and then this would be the other ordinance that we would have as a part of our church here. And I want us to understand, first of all, what an ordinance is, an outward act that's appointed by Christ to be administered in the local church as a visible sign of the saving truth of the Christian faith. Now, here's what we don't want to say about an ordinance, or we want to make sure we don't misunderstand. The ordinance that we're going to partake of today and the ordinance of baptism has nothing to do with our salvation, does it? Now, of course, we know that when we are baptized, it's a visible picture to folks of the fact that we have trusted Christ as our Savior. That I have pictures on my wall, he said, of my grandchildren. And he said, when people come over to my house, they say, well, who is that a picture of? And he said, well, my response, or my wife's response, would be, well, that's our grandchildren. But we would understand that's not literally their grandchildren. So again, an illustration of knowing that what we're taking today is not the actual body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we know it's going to help us to be able to remember what He did for us when He died on the cross for us. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and if you're there, I'm actually going to turn back just one chapter. You could stay there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 if you want, but one thing we want to make sure we understand about the Lord's Supper is that this is an ordinance that we would partake of in our church, but it's only for those who are believers, though. It's only for those who are saved. It's not something that we're doing to add to our salvation or not something that we're doing to save us, but we do understand that it is only for those who are believers, only for those who have been saved and have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, are a Christian. They're on their way to heaven. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 16, just a chapter before where you're at there, it says, the cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. He says down in verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. So he gives us the truth there, Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, of the fact that this ordinance that we're taking today is for an individual that is saved, that has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. But let's look here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, and I want us to look at verse number 23 to start out, and it's the verse that Brother Tom started out with. And Paul is dealing here with the church of Corinth of the Lord's Supper. And here's what I want us to notice right from the beginning in verse number 23. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Here's the first thing I want us to notice at the very beginning of verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, that Paul received the instructions that he is giving to the church of Corinth from the Lord. He's received these instructions from the Lord. So what he is about to deliver to the Corinthians was exactly what God had given to him. We have to understand that from the very start. Paul is letting you know, or letting the reader know, letting us know as we're studying this passage of the Lord's Supper, that I've received the instructions that I'm about ready to give you from the Lord. They're exactly what God has given me. And we know that he goes at the end of verse number 23, and he goes on to say that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, we're not going to take the time, at least right now during the message, to go to these passages. But if you would go to the gospel, you would go to Matthew, and then you would go to Mark, and then you would go to the book of Luke, and we would notice in three separate passages there, three separate accounts that are given of the Lord when he institutes this ordinance with his disciples at what we call the Last Supper. And we know that that's when Jesus instituted this ordinance with his disciples that we are going to partake of today. So now let's move on in the passage. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 24. I want us to, as we look at the message of the Lord's Supper today, I want us to take a couple looks. And this is the first look that I want us to take. I want us to look back to remember what Jesus has done for us. I want us to look back to remember. Notice what the Bible says in verse 24. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said," so he took this bread, he gave thanks, he brake it, "and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now, first with the verses of 24 and verse number 25, I want us to look back to remember. Now, he has already described this to us in verse number 24, but we know that when we take of the bread, it's a picture of his body that was broken for us. Let's remember back to what Jesus has done. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And then when he takes of the cup, we know it's a picture to help us remember the blood that was shed for us. It's a reminder of his suffering for us. Now, there's a few things that I want us to remember as we look back. Number one, I want us to remind ourselves of what Jesus did. What Jesus did for us. Can I draw your mind to at least three thoughts that I want us to remember about what Jesus did? When we trusted Jesus as our Savior, he justified us, didn't he? He justified us. And when we use that word justification, we understand that that means we've been declared righteous. We've been forgiven of our sins. So we've been saved from the penalty of our sin. We do not have to face the punishment of hell, which is exactly what will take place with those who have not trusted what Jesus did for them on the cross. But aren't you thankful when we look back to remember, we can remember what Jesus did, and we can remember that he justified us. He forgave our sins. He declared us righteous. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He has given us a position in him. He's justified us. We're now a child of God. So we look back and remember what Jesus did. He justified us. But number two, he also sanctified us. Isn't it great to know as a Christian that we are not only saved from the penalty of sin, but we're also saved on earth here from the power of sin? We're sanctified. We're set apart from the world and to the service of God to or for the purpose of doing his will for us. He justified us. He sanctified us. But number three, I want us to look back and remember what Jesus did for us. He also glorified us. Isn't it great to know that those who he justified, he also glorified? We are saved from the presence of sin with the promise of an eternal home that is awaiting us in heaven, where we will no longer even have to face or be around the very presence of sin. Now, I know Miss Nancy has just faced a loss. I know Brother Gene has just faced a loss. But they're in a place where they're away from even the presence of sin now. Man, they're in a place now. I know we're going to get to see them again someday, and we take comfort in that. But to think of the place that they are in right now, the comfort that we have in that, knowing that because of what Jesus did for us, He glorified us, and we'll get to spend eternity in an eternal home called heaven that He has provided for us and He is preparing for us even right now. I came across the poem as I was studying for the message. It said, "O wonder of all wonders, that through thy death for me, my open sins, my secret sins, can all forgiven be." Aren't you glad for the forgiveness? The fact that Jesus justified us and He sanctified us and He glorified us. But not only do we look back to remember what He did for us, but I also want us to look back and be reminded of how Jesus did what He did for us. Not only what He did for us, but how He did what He did for us. Think of the pain of His crucifixion. When we take of that bread a little bit later on at the end of the message time, we're going to have that bread as a reminder of that body that was broken for us. The pain that Jesus endured through His crucifixion. Would you take time, and I know you probably know this, but would you take time to look back to Isaiah chapter 53? And let us look at what the Bible says here of the suffering of Jesus that was prophesied here through the prophet Isaiah, of what would take place of Jesus as He died on the cross for us. Isaiah 53, and look at what the Bible says in verse 4. It says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Nothing that He did, all of what we have done when it came to sin, but yet He took the pain of crucifixion for us. Verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth." Just a picture of how He did what He did for us, the pain of His crucifixion. Would you turn to the Gospel of Matthew? And let us look at Matthew chapter number 27. And we will start in verse number 26. Matthew 27 and verse number 26. And it says, "Then released He Barabbas unto them, and when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified." We know some of the first part of the pain of the crucifixion was the whipping that Jesus took as His body was torn apart for my sins and for your sins. The pain of this crucifixion as they scourged Jesus. And then the Bible says, verse 27, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns," think of the pain and the suffering of that crown of thorns, "they put it upon His head and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on the head. And after that they had mocked Him, they took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him." We know that when He got to that hill that He was going to be crucified on, they took that cross and they nailed His hands and they nailed His feet to that cross. Just the pain and suffering that Jesus faced as He was crucified. The pain of His crucifixion. How He did what He did for us. But when we take of that cup a little bit later on, we're going to picture and remember the blood that He shed for us as well. Look with me if you would, just so we can be reminded of this, of in Hebrews chapter number 9. And let's look at verse number 22 in Hebrews chapter 9. And let's look at the price that Jesus paid with the blood that He shed for us. Let's look back to how He did what He did for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." We know that without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, we would not have had an opportunity to be justified. We would not have had the opportunity to be sanctified and glorified, but because of the blood that He shed for us. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, very familiar verses, I understand. 1 Peter chapter 1, and look down at verse number 18. The Bible says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers." So you can't get to heaven. Here's what He's saying. You can't get to heaven by just an empty life of works. You can't get to heaven. We've said it before, but you can't get to heaven just because grandfather and grandma were saved. Just because mom and dad were saved. But there's a way that you can come to Jesus because of what He has done for us that can provide your way to heaven. Look at what verse 19 says. "But with the precious blood, that priceless blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. 1 John 1 verse 7. I know just a few weeks ago on Sunday morning we preached a message about the blood of Jesus Christ and the importance of His blood. Let's remember it again today. Let's remember how He did what He did for us. His body that was broken for us and His blood that was shed for us. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sins." Let's remember what Jesus did for us. Let's remember how He did it when His body was broken for us and the pain of the crucifixion and the blood that was shed for us. But then also let's remember, let's be reminded as we look back to why Jesus did what He did for us. Not only what He did and how He did it, but why Jesus did it for us. We know that He did it because of His great love for us. The Bible says in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." John chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Why did Jesus do what He did for us? Because of His great love for us. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 4 and 5 it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." Notice not only what Jesus did and how He did it, but why He did it. Because of His great love for us. Now we're thankful for His body that was broken for us. We're thankful for His blood that was shed for us. But we're thankful that He loved us enough to do that for us because of His great love. But then I also want you to look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where we were, and I want you to notice another great truth that we could pull out of verse 24 and verse number 25. We already looked back to remember, but there's something else I want us to notice at the end of verse 24 and at the end of verse number 25. Notice what He says. At the end of verse number 25, He says, "This do in remembrance of Me." Notice at the end of verse number 25, "In remembrance, this do ye," He says, "as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of Me." I want us to see at the end of verse number 25, verse number 24 and verse number 25, that He says, "This do ye in remembrance of Me," that it's not only important that we take of the Lord's Supper, but it's also commanded. It's not just that it's important, but it's commanded. God desires that we do it. "This do ye," He says, "in remembrance of Me." It's not just that we partake of the Lord's table and we observe the Lord's Supper today because it's something that's important, and it is important. But we also partake of the Lord's table and observe the Lord's Supper today because of something that God has commanded us. We must partake of the Lord's table if we're walking in fellowship with the Lord. It's His provision for us to show forth his death. Now, here's something interesting about the Lord's Supper. What we have to understand about the Lord's Supper is that really it's the only thing that Jesus ever asked his people to do so that they might remember him. It's important, isn't it? It's something that God commands us to do. Why? So that we can do it in remembrance of him. So that we can remember what Jesus did for us. So let's look back to remember. But then also, let's look forward to his soon return. Let's look forward to his soon return. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 26. Same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. It says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, we're nearer to his coming than we've ever been. And we understand that. We know the Lord is coming. He's given us that great promise. Again, not to bring it up again here a second time, but to think about Miss Nancy and Brother Gene, to think that the Lord's coming back and we're going to be able to be reunited. Let's look forward to his soon coming return. Let's be looking for that blessed hope. What's the Bible say? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and listening for the trumpet, because it could sound at any moment. Perhaps today, we're looking for the blessed hope. We're listening for the trumpet. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians a great promise for us. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Those who are dead in Christ are going to rise up out of those graves, their bodies at least, and we're going to get to meet them in the air. The comfort of knowing that we can look for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ, and we can look for his return, and we can also be listening for the trumpet, and we can be ready for his soon coming return. He could come at any moment. It's imminent, isn't it? We preached a message about that not too long ago as well. The rapture and the fact that he could come at any moment. Let's look forward to that wonderful assurance, that wonderful hope that we have that he is coming again. But then one last look that we want to take today. Right before we observe the Lord's Supper, we want to make sure that we look inward to examine. We want to look inward to examine. We want to look back to remember what Jesus did for us, and we want to look forward to his soon coming return. But we want to look inward for the purpose of examining. Now that's exactly what Paul tells us we need to do, doesn't he? Look at what the Bible says in verse number 27. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man," there's the word, "examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," or have even died, right? "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Let's look inward for the purpose of examining. To partake of the Lord's Supper in a proper way, we must examine ourselves. We should be sure that we are living in the realm of confessed sin. We have our sin confessed. We've examined ourselves. So the Lord's Supper, really, by way of a complete definition for this, we've already said the first part, the Lord's Supper is for Christians, right? For folks that are saved. And we observe the Lord's Supper here in the church, so we would say it's for saved individuals inside the local church. We observe the Lord's Supper. But as we read further in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, it's also for those who are right with God as well. We need to make sure we look inward and we examine ourselves. So before we take of the Lord's Supper today, it even should be preceded by self-examination in a solemn way. We will examine ourselves and make sure that, again, we are living in the realm of confessed sin. We have everything confessed, and there's nothing that would stand in the way of our walk and our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord. Look down to verse number 29 again. It says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily." That word unworthily has the idea or means in an unworthy manner. And again, how would that be? Well, if we examine ourselves and we find that there are things that we need to get right and we don't make those right. We're eating and taking of that cup in an unworthy way. And then look what it says at the end of verse number 29. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Severe judgment that certainly could come. Here's what Paul's trying to say. Consequences must be paid for our disobedience to God. And we understand that. God chastens us when we do that which we shouldn't do, doesn't He? And so it's important for us to examine ourselves. And so when taking the Lord's Supper, it should be that we ask ourselves, is there anything in my life right now, anything in my life at this very moment that would disqualify me from participating in the Lord's Supper? I need to get that dealt with. I need to make sure I examine myself and take care of that before I partake of the Lord's Supper. Can I ask you this morning to examine four different things this morning? Examine, number one, your relationship with God. How's your relationship with God this morning? Let's examine that before we partake of the Lord's Supper. What is your relationship like with the Lord? Let's examine what our relationship is like with others. What is your relationship like with others? Is there something that stands in the way there? Is there something that would be unconfessed sin that I've got to deal with? And so let's examine our relationship with God and our relationship with others. But then let's examine our sins of omission. Our sins of omission. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's examine our sins of omission. How are you when it comes to what God has asked you to do? What you know to do? How is it with your Bible reading and how is it with your prayer time with the Lord? Let's examine the possibility of some sins of omission, but then the sins of commission today as well. Isn't it great to know that when we think about sins that we have committed, we can go to the Lord? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, and we can do that even right now as we examine ourselves, can't we? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or the opposite of that is we can cover it, right? He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. We can just ignore it and act like it's not there. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we could go about it different ways, but let's make sure we examine ourselves this morning as we are approaching this time where we're partaking of the Lord's Supper. We'd examine our relationship with Him, our relationship with others, our sins possibly of omission, our sins possibly that we need to get confessed, that we've committed to maybe perhaps before others or before God. And let's make sure we examine ourselves. So we ask God, is there anything that would right now disqualify me from participating until I get that dealt with? Examine my heart, Lord. Search me, as the psalmist says. And let's find out if there's something that we need to get confessed as we examine before we partake of the Lord's Supper. So let's remember as we look back to what Jesus did, and then let's take that look forward at His soon coming return, and then let's look inward today to examine ourselves and to see that we are taking, to make sure that we are taking of the Lord's Supper in a proper way, that we're ready to take of the Lord's Supper today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes as we bring the message to an end.